If we can take just a few moments here to go through our ministry opportunities for the coming week. They are printed in your bulletin. Every day, shine the light of Christ for all to see. That is a gentle hint to each and every one of us that in this coming week, every day we have the opportunity to minister and service to our fellow human beings in the communities in which we live. Today at 5 p.m., regular youth ministry schedule. 6 p.m., nominating committee. Tuesday, 10:30 a.m., teenagers meeting and covered dish luncheon. Wednesday, 10:50 a.m., neighbors helping neighbors. 6:30 p.m., children's choirs. Please take note of the following addition. 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, there will be a brief finance committee meeting in the conference room up here in the administrative area. 7 p.m., adult prayer and Bible study. 7 p.m., man up and act teens. 7:30 p.m., kids in action. Thursday, 6:30 p.m., sanctuary bells. 7:30 p.m., chancel choir. Please take note, you should have an insert in your bulletin that looks like this. Please note that that is for the Lynchburg Baptist Association, the 55th annual session meeting at First Baptist Church of Monroe. That will be held on October the 15th. There is some information there about dinner and cost and when the meeting will be. But please note at the bottom of that flyer, it tells you that please contact the LBA office if you plan to attend by Monday, October the 7th. That's tomorrow. So if you plan on attending this meeting, please let somebody know at the LBA office by tomorrow. Are there any other announcements at this time? If not, then we will begin our worship.
Good morning. As we consider our stewardship theme for this year, Stewardship Builds the Future, I have a question for you. Has anyone ever asked you, what will you leave as your legacy? As we consider our stewardship theme for this year as Christian stewards, we think of giving financially and our service to others. For each of us to personalize stewardship in the future, maybe we should ask, how does my stewardship build the future? John 15:6 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Our financial giving provides a way for missions and ministry to serve others. We donate items to help meet others' needs. We give our time in ministry to serve others. When we combine provisions and our financial contributions, they go much further. During our joint Sunday school session last week, Reverend Tony Brooks challenged us to think how we could be co-creators. In giving our money, goods, and time, we are co-creating together to impact our community and the world in ways none of us could do alone. We're working together to build a Christian legacy that will extend the love of God to others as we serve Christ. So as we consider the legacy we will leave as Madison Heights Baptist Church, let us go forth boldly in our active ministry and financial giving to continue moving the kingdom work to future generations.
Thank you. Bushoy Camille Kamel Garris is a Coptic Christian living in Egypt. Coptic Christians are considered to be one of the oldest Christian sects in the world, dating back to AD 42. In the summer of 2012, Bushoy was convicted of blasphemy for posts that were discovered on a fake Facebook account that carried his name and his picture. Upon learning of this fake account, Bushoy contacted the authorities to report the account and also requested an investigation. It was soon discovered who created the fake Facebook account, and two of Bushoy's friends even got a recorded confession from the creator of the account. But despite all of that, Bushoy was convicted of blasphemy and defamation of President Mohamed Morsi, Islam, and the Prophet Muhammad, and was sentenced to 6 years in prison. Bushoy's family even received multiple death threats during the many unjust trials. After serving 3 years and 2 months of his sentence, Bushoy was acquitted and declared innocent of a crime that he did not commit.
At this time, if you will take your bulletin, there is a call to worship printed there. Immediately following the call to worship, we will be having our Celebrating Grace hymn number 457. Let us stand if you are able. As we gather this morning, we remember our sisters and brothers around the world. As today's sunlight inches across the globe, Christians will gather to celebrate what God has done.
In open and secret places, all are invited and all are welcome in God's family.
Come, for the meal is ready.
Thank you.
Thank you, and you may be seated. If there are any of you out there who don't know me, I'm Sandy Pierce, and on behalf of Madison Heights Baptist Church, it is my pleasure to welcome each and every one of you here today. We are glad to see your smiling faces sitting out there smiling back at us. It makes for a nice day. We also want to welcome the choir. I'm over here. And I've already told the pastor I was thrilled to death to see him here today. If you are visiting with us, if you are our guest today, I should say, we extend a special welcome to each of you and hope that you find a worshipful atmosphere here. You're going to find that there are a number of us here at this church who have, well, we didn't move here, we were born here. I've spent my whole life in this church. And it's a really nice family feeling that you find when you come here. Today, if you would, if you are a one of our guests, we have a tear-off on the bulletin that you can fill in, give us some information. It could be placed in the offering plate as it comes around, or you can take and hand it to one of the deacons who will be at the exit doors when you leave today. If you are a church member and you have prayer requests or other information that you wish to share with our pastor or the deacons, please feel free to do the same thing. Fill in information on there and again, put it in the offering plate or give it to one of our deacons. Again, for those that might be our guests today at the vestibule back here and over here, we have additional information on all the programs that we have here at the church. However, if you look to your left or your right, you'll see an individual sitting there. And before the service is over with, punch him in the ribs and say, "What's going on?" And they'll be glad to fill you in on what's happening around here. We hope that you will have an enjoyable time here today and will have a very worshipful and meaningful experience here at Madison Heights Baptist Church.
Let me add my welcome to Sandy's and invite you to share in our Old Testament reading for today. I'll be reading from Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 30. Daniel 3, beginning in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their outer clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not 3 men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. On this World Communion Sunday, when we're thinking about the persecuted church around the world, I invite you to hear about Carolos Shuki Atala. He was convicted of blasphemy in Egypt simply for liking a Facebook page for Arabic-speaking Christians. He was convicted and sentenced to 6 years in prison, even though he unliked the page. Let's pray together and invite you to join me later in the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you grateful that we are worshiping this morning in safety and in freedom. We're mindful of the freedom that you've given us to worship you with our minds and with our spirits and souls. We remind ourselves that you want free worshipers and no other kind. And so we're grateful for this freedom. We're grateful for those that have preserved it for us. Remind us today that it's not that way everywhere. There are places around our world that are unsafe for our brothers and sisters. And so today in our worship, Lord, we declare our solidarity with you and with them. Help us to remember them. Help us to find ways to support them and encourage them, Lord. We are grateful that even in dangerous places, people have been called by you and have responded to that call to go and share the gospel where it's dangerous to do so. We give you thanks for their witness, for their courage, for their devotion to you. We are grateful for military personnel who have gone to preserve liberty in other places around the world. We're grateful and mindful that people have given their lives in the cause of liberty for people that they've never met. And we give you thanks for them. Help us not to take for granted the freedom that you've given us, freedom in Christ, freedom to worship you however it is that we feel led. We come to you this morning, Lord, and we are mindful of the meal that's been spread out in front of us. Help us while we take this meal to be grateful that we get to share again the story of your son's sacrifice for us. And so give us minds and hearts aware of the seriousness of the meal that we're taking, of the joy that we get to have in sharing it with one another. And help us to take this meal having confessed our sins and been reminded that you have forgiven us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Son who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
last act of devotion and teaching before his crucifixion, Jesus wanted to share a meal with his disciples and offering himself to them and to the world. And so also to us. And the words he shares to the disciples, he says to us as well. And so I'll offer these words from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew writes, "While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" And we, like the disciples, after taking this meal together, will sing together. We'll sing hymn 459, "Come Share the Lord." As you're able, would you stand while we sing?
The song that we have just sung, the hymn, "Come Share the Lord." We are a religious and a spiritual institution that exists in a secular world. In order to share the Lord, we have to use our money. The difference between us and the rest of the secular world is that we acknowledge where our gifts truly come from. And today, we have an opportunity to return a portion of that which we have been so graciously granted with. Let us worship now with our tithes and offerings.
Adrian Noreen spent 8 years on death row in Pakistan. She's a Christian mother who was sentenced to death by hanging in 2010. She was beaten nearly to death in front of her 9-year-old daughter, and she spent many years trying to appeal the charges that were sentenced against her. She eventually was able to leave the country, and she now lives in Canada, but she was only able to leave the country earlier this year. And the two Pakistani officials who defended her against the unjust convictions were assassinated. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can worship together. Thank you that we can remember you and your love for us through this holy meal of communion. I thank you that communion unites us with other Christians around the world. I pray that you will be with those who are being persecuted for their faith, and I pray that you will give them strength and courage to continue to trust in you, and I pray that you would help us to do all that we can to help them, both in actions and prayers and through love. Thank you again, in Jesus' name, amen.
On World Communion Sunday, we contemplate how the bread and the cup represents a shared expression of faith. Christians around the world gather to commemorate the meal Jesus shared with his disciples. And around the world, we use different breads. We share and commemorate this meal in different languages. Some churches are using real wine. Some are using Baptist wine, aka Welch's. Some traditions believe that these elements miraculously transform into the body and blood of Christ. Others, like us, view the meal as symbolic, representing Jesus' body and blood. But despite those differences that we might have in the ways in which we share this meal, we are, with the church around the world, expressing a shared faith in the incarnation, the ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see him as our means of salvation. This is the third year that we have marked World Communion Sunday, and we've done that with different emphases. And so, if it's not obvious already, this World Communion Sunday, I invite you to think about the church where sharing the bread and the cup is a dangerous act with legal or deadly consequences. As we think about Madison Heights Baptist Church being connected to a church around the world, and in sharing this meal together, I invite you to find some sense of solidarity with the persecuted church around the world. What does the persecution of Christians look like today? You've already heard a couple of stories. Let me share just a few more. From Forbes magazine. Since Xi Jinping came to power, Chinese authorities have torn down crosses from churches in the Zhejiang province and imprisoned countless pastors. As recently as January 2018, the Chinese government demolished Golden Lampstand Church, a megachurch serving a congregation of 50,000 people in the Shaanxi province. It has become increasingly difficult for believers to congregate in larger groups, and restrictions forbid children under the age of 18 from receiving religious education, making it nearly impossible for children to participate in church. Can you imagine that? Not being able to teach a child that Jesus loves them. Not being able to have children sing and participate in worship. That is foreign to us. In Nigeria, Christians live in relative safety in the southern part of the country, but it's not the same in the central and northern part of Nigeria. On February 17, 2014, Boko Haram militants attacked a Christian farming village in Borno State. The attack, in which 106 people were killed, specifically targeted male residents of the Christian community. More recently, on February 24, 2018, militant Fulani herdsmen attacked a Catholic church in Buna State during a morning service, killing two priests and 17 parishioners. After the shooting rampage, the attackers reportedly descended on the community and razed over 60 houses, farmland, food barns, after carting away what the people had in their barns. And on June 23, 2018, 120 Christians were killed by Fulani militants in Plateau State as they returned from attending a funeral. And in India, India experienced an escalation of attacks on its Christian minority in 2016, usually led by Hindu nationalists, acting largely with impunity. Just over 2% of the country's population is Christian, and nearly 80% of Indians are Hindu. That's China, Nigeria, and India. And just those three countries represent over 3 billion people, or nearly half the population of the world. The populations of those countries live under some of the most serious threats to religious liberty and persecution of Christians or other religious minorities. North Korea has 25 million people. Pakistan has 217 million people. Eritrea has 3.5 million people, and they also find themselves on the high end of the list of offenders when it comes to religious persecution generally and Christian persecution specifically. And those numbers and countries, that doesn't even represent countries like Russia that favor a certain kind of Christian and persecute other denominations or expressions of the Christian faith. The words of Jesus and Paul remind us to expect persecution. It was indicative of the New Testament church living and worshiping in the Roman Empire and under the oppression of worship of Caesar. And it still exists in our world today. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If those who are persecuted are to be blessed, if Jesus has declared some kind of solidarity with those who are persecuted for their faith, how can we join them in some sense of solidarity ourselves? What can you do as an individual? What can we do as a group? Well, for one, Baptists can keep being Baptist. As a former religious minority, we have a history of advocating for religious liberty for all people and for all religions. Our religious liberty is indelibly linked to everyone's liberty. So we can financially support and pray for missionaries in those places that are where Christianity and other religions are persecuted. We can pray for them, we can financially support them, and our denominational partners help us do that. What do we do here at home? I think we can keep our own circumstances in perspective, to be really honest. We live in a more diverse society than a generation ago, or two generations ago. But I think one of the things we can do is not claim religious persecution when it's not there. The design of a Starbucks cup or a department store saying happy holidays isn't religious persecution. That fails to acknowledge the circumstances of our brothers and sisters around the world whose lives are in danger. And then when we learn of cases of religious persecution, we can call on our government to set the example for religious liberty here at home And then we can ask them to push for and demand increased liberty in nations where religious minorities are persecuted. By doing so, we protect the liberty of Christians and other religious minorities. What can you do really tangibly? You can call Congressman Klein's office and ask him to support House Resolution 512. It calls for an end to blasphemy laws all over the world, in countries all over the world that continue to have laws on their books that persecute religious minorities. This is a resolution to push for an end to that. You can call Senators Kaine and Warner, you can call their offices to ask them to support whatever Senate resolution comes up eventually to pair with that House resolution. The world is big. It is filled with lots of people. Lots of people who find themselves in harm's way because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so, sometimes it may feel like we can't do anything to help our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, but each of us can do something. We can pray for a missionary. We can financially support them with our offerings. We can make calls to congressmen and senators. Each of us can do something. And in all of those little acts of solidarity, guess what? God is working. Jesus promised the disciples that when they were persecuted for their faith, that he would be with them, that they would be blessed. And as we read scripture and as we pray the Lord's Prayer as we did earlier, as we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we are also challenged to ask ourselves what our part is in making the kingdom come, inviting the kingdom to come in our world. And maybe part of that is being a part of that blessing for those who are persecuted for their faith in Jesus. We may never know, we hope we'll never know, the kind of persecution that many of our brothers and sisters face on a daily basis. But we can remind ourselves that we are connected to them, that they are sharing the bread and the cup, and something about our worship, even though we are not physically present with them, something about us singing the name of Jesus, something about sharing the bread and the cup, connects us to them in an invisible way, but in a very real way. It reminds us that they are our brothers and sisters, that we belong to them and that they belong to us, that all of us together are God's children. All of us together have been redeemed through the same person, Jesus the Christ. All of us call him Lord. And that God has called his church to be one. We have one Lord, one Savior, and one Spirit. Though we may never meet them, they're ours and we're theirs. And so I hope that in thinking about communion today, that you'll think about those places around the world where that is a dangerous act. That they are endangering their own lives and livelihood to take that same meal that we just took a few minutes ago. To pray for them. To find ways to support them. We have the joy of being able to share in the Lord's Supper together in freedom and safety. And we shouldn't take that for granted. We shouldn't take for granted the people who've come before us that made that so. We shouldn't take for granted those who continue to defend our freedoms to do so. We shouldn't take for granted that we have brothers and sisters in the world that don't have the same freedoms that we do. God invites all of us to be redeemed through his Son, Jesus Christ, to be reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. It's a gift that we get to share with people around us freely and safely. And so we share it with all of you, that God invites you into relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And we invite you. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn 469. Put peace into each other's hands. I invite you to stand as you're able and sing. I invite you to respond to the call to be one with God in faith and in relationship. Let's worship together in song. Join me in our benediction. We have shared in the bread of life and tasted from the cup of remembrance.
Now let us go and proclaim the sacrificial love of Christ to the universe.
Shine through us, Lord, so all may know that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. And God bless you.